Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Penix, Pitts in motion, snap to him. Michael looks, pumps, now up in the pocket. Penix dives! Did he get in? Did he get in? Yes! Touchdown Atlanta! Michael Penix on the dive!
Oh, yes, he did.
The officials conferring because he was really close to being down with the knee.
Yeah, Arch was had my stomach in my throat. Me and Dylan sitting here watching it in the studio. Yeah. And I'm like, did he? Wes is like, did he get in? I'm like, did he? I don't know. I can't see. The TV's a delay.
I loved after the game, Penix was like, I don't know what took him so long to figure it out. Right. I knew.
He also gave credit to Kyle Pitts. You know, he's like, Kyle was ready for it if I wanted to throw it to him, but I just figured I'd take it myself. And I'm like, oh, God.
I think the more spectacular play was the first down run.
That was crazy.
Because.
And I got a problem with Dave Archer. We're going to deal with it at 8:20 coming up when we talk to him. Ooh. Because he's like, oh, yeah, he didn't get it. Like on the radio broadcast. I'm like, oh, Arch. And then it's like, I watched the replay on TV. I'm like, got that.
Well,
what are you talking about?
In our defense, it's all the way on. It was. Yes, it was in the end zone in front of us, but it was on the other side of the field, where he dove, the sideline. It's across from us. That's quite a distance from where we sit. But it was – see, it's all in the wording of how they saw it.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, which is hard to think because when it's a quarterback, they kind of view things differently. But do you remember the verbiage that the referee used? The quarterback – gave himself up. So therefore,
yeah.
I guess what I'm trying to say is like the fact that he dove, I don't know if contact was made by a Tampa Bay player or not as he was going to the ground.
Yeah.
But that he dove wherever the ball is when his knee or elbow touches, it's a dead ball right there. In that's where it's spotted. And that was the verbiage they used in that ruling. Are you following me?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that Grant and I sat here and wondered. I'm like, everybody always says the ground can't cause a fumble, but it actually can.
It
can cause a fumble, and I'm sitting there going, did the ground cause that fumble?
It can cause a fumble if you're not touched. Like,
Exactly.
If you're not contacted to the ground, then it can cause a fumble, but because he's a quarterback and he dove, he gave himself up. So it kind of like... That's why it's so hard. I thought the referees sucked yesterday. I'll be honest. They were terrible in so many instances. They missed so many calls. It was rough. But they took their time late in some of these moments to get things right with the review. So I got to give them credit there.
I agree with you. And we'll talk to Dave Archer coming up at 8:20. But for right now, Dylan, let's go ahead and head to Wake Up Call. I know you guys want to sound off, and we're going to allow you to do that, 404-726-0929. I am curious, guys, to get a pulse of the fan base today. A lot of people we've heard from on Twitter are like, you know what, don't feel that bad about it. I've reminded people all day, the stat column from this one is almost exactly the same as it was on the Thursday night win last year. It's just that Young Wei Koo hit the field goal to send it to overtime last year, and he didn't do that this year.
Look, other than a few guys who are professional play callers on Twitter and such, I think most of the anger is aimed towards Young Wei Koo.
Rightfully so. Which is
very understandable, and I'm not going to sit here and go after you because I'm not happy. This should be a different show today.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we all, you know, look, it is what it is. We live and die by those Falcons on Sunday and those situations at the end of the game. Or where you have to keep all your focus. Hey, Dylan, let's go ahead and head to the phone line. Let's talk to our buddy Sam over in Marietta. Sam, Tell us what you're thinking.
Hey, man. First off, before I hop on the Falcons, Mike, man, I'm so glad you clarified that you were at Monster Jam. My son, my youngest, he loves Monster Jam, and we took him. But I was running to the bathroom, and I heard your voice. And I'm like, man, that sounds like Mike Johnson. We were sitting in section 217, yeah. I don't know, you just was walking in the hall, but I was running, and I think you said something to him. And I'm like, man, that has to be Mike Johnson. Like, nobody else has that voice, man. Yeah, and to see how tall you really are, man, I think I was running. I just happened to look back, and your son is like, he just comes to your knees. I'm like, this guy is cute, man. But that's funny. I'm so glad you clarified, because I was going to call and ask, like, hey, were you at Mustard Jam Saturday? Yeah. So cool.
Good stuff.
But,
man.
Yeah, man, the Falcons game, man, it was awesome. Like, today we lost, but I don't feel like I usually feel. Like, yeah. I'm not mad. I'm not frustrated. Like, who showed us that, hey, man, even in the preseason, I'm going to miss. And I think we just trusted him too much. Like how Bo was saying, every time it was up to him, I was like, my goodness, I cannot believe that we're allowing him to kick again. And it just sucks. We love the kid, but I do think that it's time to go. So many opportunities to have us in the playoff run. And right now it's you know, I understand a couple of years ago we did lose to Tampa first week and went to the Super Bowl, but not like this. Come on, cool. You got to do your thing.
Yeah, man,
the fans were great. The atmosphere were great. I was in section 118. I do want to shout out Brandon Penning, man. He was flipping the field. Those punts were amazing. And just a shout out to him. I don't think he gets enough credit. Shout out to the offensive line. Mike P was back there just
– yeah.
It
yeah.
was beautiful, and it actually showed me how much we really missed Darnell Mooney. And but yeah, man, it was great. Rise up, we still, man, we're gonna do it. We
rise
got,
up,
we
baby.
Just, we
rise
hey,
up,
man.
Rise up. I appreciate the phone call, Sam, and I'm glad you had fun at Monster Jam. I think he feels the way a lot of fans do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't feel that bad. You're open for the best. Got to make some adjustments. He did bring up a good point on Bradley Pena. There was a number of times that you'd hear Wes go, "We really need a good punt here," and then he'd be like, "Oh, it's a deep one." Now, the cover, he outkicked the coverage a couple times, which resulted in a big 50-yard return. But Pinion definitely a dude that has a lot of power behind that thing. So, all right, Dylan, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Pierre. He says he's in the man cave right now. Pierre, I'm glad you're able to enjoy your man cave at 8:10 in the morning, my friend.
Yeah, I good morning, Mike. Bro, Mike, Dylan behind the glass. Yeah, man, you know, I was at the game, section 104 last night, but I have to get up on Monday morning and rewatch the game because, you know, I'm just like that once on Sunday and then again on Monday. But here's the thing, two things.
Might have been a little abbreviated.
Two things. I think when it comes to Koo, I was thinking about the game is on the line. Trey Young is at the line, and the arena is quiet except for their fans. You know, you mentioned that there was a lot of adrenaline in that building, and maybe somebody needs to get to the guy on the board, and they need to write quiet. We need to stop cooing before he kicks the ball and coo afterwards. And then secondly, Mike, as an offensive lineman, I'm going to tell you what frustrated me yesterday. 4th and 1, why are we not under center?
Yeah. Yeah, I know that's a sticking point for a lot of people. I appreciate the phone call, Pierre, and I hope you're enjoying your man cave. That's a sticking point for a lot of people. I don't see it so much like that. Now, to me, it's all about the direction the runback's running. You know, I don't care where the quarterback's at as much as some people seem to. It's like, why give up a yard? I mean, I would say that there's just many people saying, why run backwards after you take a snap? You know what I mean? It just kind of is what it is. It's all about the direction the running back is running for me. And Bijan on the goal line yesterday, he's running sideline to sideline.
Yeah, I didn't like that play call.
I don't, but I don't. Here's the thing: I don't necessarily want him to run in the A gaps either with Vita Vea on Ryan Neusel. So I don't know what the answer is. I want some kind of misdirection. That's what you got on that one, but I don't know.
Look, there's a first off. This, can we address the Koo thing?
Sure.
Well, if Koo can only make kicks in the quiet, I guess we're screwed on the road.
Secondly,
I would say I did not like the 4th down call early in the game, but it also doesn't look whatever the. This is the problem. We cannot like calls or like calls all we want. But if you lose up front, it doesn't matter. And Lindstrom was stood straight up and pushed backwards by Vita Vea.
Yeah, and here's the other issue with that play call. You ran duo. You know why a duo is called duo? It's because it's built on double teams across the board. That's what it is. It's built on double teams. You know what Tampa did? They put 5 defensive linemen in the game, and they covered up all 5 of your offensive linemen. You know how many double teams we got?
None.
Not many. So Vita Vea did a nice job of saying, Ryan Neusel, you go ahead and fall on your face. I'm going to swim with you. I'm going to hit Chris Lindstrom. He's not going to push me anywhere.
I did not like the lateral play call either. Because you're just so close.
And yeah.
I understand. Maybe run a different play if you want to get out to the edge and use your speed. I understand. I just don't. It was just too much. But look, you have to show different looks, because if you do the same, you can't just do the same thing every time.
No, you can't. You got to have some kind of misdirection built in. Hey, let's try to get a couple more phone calls in here before we're done. Let's go to Keith and Lovejoy. Keith, what'd you see yesterday?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
I'm like everyone else. I'm not disappointed. You know, half the league starts out at 0-1, so it's not a big thing. And I agree with a lot of the callers. I thought the worst thing for Koo was right before he kicked it, they called timeout, but he kicked it anyway. And it was right to the left of the goalpost. It went in, but it was right to the left. And I thought to myself right then, he's going to overcompensate. And sure enough, when he kicked it the second time, it went all flat. I mean, all the way out to the right. So that's my thing on Koo. Last year's games, yes. But also, I just want to say, the game was already could have been won with Hodge had he been paying attention. The ball was put right on the spot, but he wasn't looking, and he didn't make that catch.
It wasn't that he wasn't looking. It was that he was illegally contacted. It's a good point, but he was knocked off his route, and therefore it threw it off. And look, I say keep looking too, but it's – When that should have been a penalty. I mean, there's no doubt.
I don't know. And what I was trying to go back and watch the film was he looking before he was contacted? I don't know. I don't know if he was waiting until he got past the defender to get his eyes around and that threw his timing off. But,
you do wonder, though,
if that's Drake, because Drake makes that play so many times.
Yeah. Well,
you do wonder if it's Drake. You're like, man, could we have come down with that? Hey, let's try to get to one more. True. I know we're up against it, Dylan. Let's talk to Angela over in Southwest Atlanta. Angela, what's going on this morning?
You all
doing good?
I come to you as a usher for the Falcons from the 1970s. I'm a season ticket holder for 40 years. I gave the tickets up and went back to ushering again, but I love them. But this is my opinion of football week. It's bitching on Monday, moaning on Tuesday, whining on Wednesday, thankful on Thursday, hopeful on Friday, optimistic on Saturday, and starting it all over again on Sunday.
You sound like a pro, Angela.
Hey, I appreciate the phone call. We're up against it. I'm writing that down, though, Angela. I'm running that back. I'm going to write that on my calendar. I'm just going to write hopeful Friday.
It's a pro outlook.
You're not having – yeah, it's crazy, man. But appreciate the phone calls from everybody. I know the phone lines have been on fire today. Appreciate all the calls. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Let's keep the vibes high. I know it's tough today.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming up, we do have former Falcons quarterback and Atlanta Falcons radio network analyst Dave Archer. He's going to give us his insights on yesterday's game, and Mike has a bone to pick with him. Ooh. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and we are welcoming in former Falcons quarterback, now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons radio network, Dave Archer. Were you going to say analyst?
No, I was, but you know.
You did the motion. You didn't say it.
Analyst. Yeah, there you go.
Dave, welcome in. We didn't exactly get the result we wanted yesterday, but how was the atmosphere for the home opener for this season?
Yeah, it was good, Allie. It was the crowd was fired up. I thought that there were a lot of people in their seats and ready to go. Sometimes there's so many cool things about Mercedes-Benz Stadium that you kind of get caught up and wandering around and kind of wide-eyed looking at everything. They always introduce some new food items and things on different levels of the stadium. Got the new Sports Illustrated Club at the top level up above in the third level. So I think if you can kind of get caught up wandering around and forget why you came down there. But I thought that the fans didn't do that this time. I thought they were very much in their seats. The Falcons gave up flags, which they're going to give out every weekend. So you're going to be able to get some of that pageantry that's attached to it. And so I thought they were fired up and ready to go. I thought the guys fed off it, too. I thought during the introduction of the players, especially when they introduced the back end of those guys, some of the prominent guys that are going to make plays for you, like Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Michael Penix, that the crowd really reacted to those guys. So there was a lot of juice in the building, no question.
Arch, Grant and I yesterday in the post game tried to approach it as level-headed as you can, and I think the more and more I've gotten removed from this game, it's just it's a week one loss. It stinks, but in almost every sense of the game, it was exactly like the last year's Thursday night game. You played very, very close game. You just didn't make the field goal at the end to send it to overtime the way you did in last year's Thursday night game. You can look at third down percentages. You can look at rushing yards. You can look at Baker's stats. I think last year he's 180 for three touchdowns, much in the way he was yesterday. Your overall takeaways and just encouraging Falcons fans not to sort of overreact and hopefully this team getting back to the drawing board in a couple of ways this week.
Yeah, I think that, Mike, you're dead on in that obviously the disappointment of not finishing the job and the way we did a year ago. But when you begin to think about, okay, what did you go to the field with? You went to the field with a bunch of young guys in some prominent positions. Number one thing was, how was Michael Penix going to handle his business? And I thought he was extremely good. I thought his poise throughout the game, including the final drive where he had to convert on fourth down twice and he did it himself to get you in the end zone to get that game where it was. I just thought that was incredible on his part. You needed some – you wanted to see a home run play from Bijan Robinson. And, boy, we didn't have to wait three plays, and he blew the building, the top of the building off with that catch and run. And then just a little check down play, which, again, goes back to what Michael Penix was doing in the game. Michael's looking to take a shot down the field, and he comes out of the play fake, slides his feet, and then immediately drops it off to his check down, his Bijan Robinson in the right flat, and then Bijan does what he can do. And you talk about, you know, a warning label for anybody that's going to play the Falcons coming up. You better find somebody to hug up on number seven when he gets out of the backfield. So that was fun. And I thought there were moments defensively. We only gave up four plays of 15 yards or more. In these two games a year ago, Atlanta gave up 18 plays of 15 yards or more in the two games combined a year ago. Just four plays. Now two of those went for touchdowns, and that'll be something that Raheem and the defensive staff, Joe Volbrich, will look at. I mean, what happened from coverage standpoint, you know, to allow Abuka to get in behind you? It looked like Xavier Watts was going to intercept the first one. I thought he played extremely well. The young safety, we wondered about the two young guys in the back end. There was a lot of conversation about those two guys. I thought Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts played extremely well. We didn't get the sacks we were looking for, and that'll be something they'll continue to look for. I thought they pushed Baker off his spot. And then there's the other problem. You allowed Baker to get out of the pocket because you really did a good job against the run game. This team ran for 160 yards against you in the building last year. This year, if you take Baker's numbers away from him, they ran for 62 yards. But he had 39 yards of scramble yards that you add in there, and then all of a sudden you look up and you don't like it because they're right at 100 yards. So I thought there were a lot of positive things you take out of the building and take with you. And none are more maybe important to remember in that, you know, I remember we were reminded last time when I talked to you guys in 16, this team started off with a loss to Tampa in the building, and it was a downer. But they rallied and did some pretty special stuff that year.
Yeah, Arch, who was the biggest, you know, you mentioned some guys on defense, but to me, probably the guy that I thought had probably the biggest impact was Divine Diablo. How were they using him that allowed him to just be such an impactful player in yesterday's game?
Well, they freed him up, Bo, and I think that was something that Olbrich said he was going to do. He was going to free up Caden Ellis, and he was going to free up, you know, Diablo, Divine Diablo, and let those guys run and make plays. I think you got to give the defensive line some credit here as well. I thought that they did a good job of getting up the field and creating havoc in the offensive front. And Mike would know a great deal about that as well, to create opportunities for Divine and for Caden to get to the quarterback. I thought that both those guys affected the quarterback. I thought they affected the run game a good bit. And how about the ability of
Devine to get down the field. He makes an unbelievable play about 18 yards down the field on a tight end dragging across the middle. That safety background that he had at Virginia Tech came into play. He almost intercepted a pass down the field. So I just thought that he used their athleticism. That was the reason those two guys are on the field. They're very athletic. They can run. It just takes the defense to another level from a speed standpoint, and I thought he did all of that stuff.
We're talking with Dave Archer, former Falcons QB and analyst for the Falcons Radio Network. Dave, last year after the Saints game, that one game, everyone was feeling a certain way about Koo. And I know I heard Bo saying and others saying, if a game hinges on a field goal, you cannot blame Koo. Would you say that kind of opinion would ring true today, or am I just trying to give him some slack?
No, I think that you got some – it's valid when you think about it, Allie. 11 of the 15 games this weekend came down to one score. Now, there were a couple of games that got a field goal late. I think the New Orleans game, New Orleans kicked a field goal with about 2 minutes left to pull within seven of the Cardinals, and I think that Kansas City kicked a field goal late on Friday night to get within whatever it was, 6 points. Of the Chargers in that game down in Brazil. But 11 of 15 games are one-score games. You've got to be able to make your kicks, especially ones that are reasonable. This was a 44-yard field goal. It's Younghoe has been so good in his career, I think 87% in his career. This obviously dredges up some of the things that you remember from last year. Prior to last year, I mean, the guy had been phenomenal. So, you kind of wondered, you know, he doinked that extra point, and that was he leaked it to the right, hit the right upright and kicked through. He missed this one right. It's not his normal miss. His normal miss is that little short hook to the left if he's going to miss one, and this one sprayed right on him. So, but no, I think that you got to count on every piece of it. And then to go in after the game and say, hey, we lost the game because of Younghoe Koo. No, there's too many plays. Atlanta ran, I think, 72 plays on offense. I believe 56 plays for Tampa on their offensive side of the football. So you're talking some 130 plays almost that it comes down to. It doesn't come down to one kick. But certainly you have to be able to depend on that if you're going to play in one-score games. Atlanta is now 6-7 in their last 13, and they played in 13 one-score games over the last season plus this game. You'd like that percentage to be in that 75 percentile, and you're below 50%.
Arch, I wanted to ask about Vita Vea, and obviously I've got my own thoughts on it. They were trying to take away the run. You heard Michael Penix say it in his conversation with you after the game yesterday. Vita Vea just continues to be a problem. It doesn't matter who's at center, and Ryan Neuzel has had his struggles with him as well, but we can't run the ball against Tampa and Todd Bowles' defense. Were you surprised by that, given everything we've seen, or was it just like, you know what, Vita Vea is a pretty hard guy to block?
No, I mean, Mike, you know more about it than I do. Trying to scruff up a bunch of energy to block a guy that's 350 pounds for four quarters of football. But he was dying. This was a guy, Mike, you and I, we had talked about. He had a foot injury. There was conversation about him not even playing in this game. So, again, I don't know if he soaked his foot in some of that stuff they had in you know, Doc Hollywood soaked his foot in that, or I don't know what the deal was, but the dude, you know, wrapped it in cow manure or whatever some home remedy they had. But the dude was difficult to handle, man. If you tried to single him up, and they did a really good – give Bowles credit. And this would be something you could talk on once I get off, but Bowles did a pretty good job of getting him singled up on the interior. You try to double team those guys. We had a game plan. I remember we went out to LA and played the Rams out there. That was a game plan for Aaron Donald. They did not want Aaron Donald singled up. They were, and a lot of times he's interior, right? He's not out on the edge, so that's where Vita Vea is all the time. So you can maybe dedicate a guard to guard and a center to him. Maybe even have the back slide inside and help. You know, chip on him and kind of pester him a little bit. But, man, when he got singled up, he posterized some people in the interior. But they've been hard to run on, Mike, for the last several years. I mean, it's a team that only gave up 97 yards on the ground a game last year. They were fourth in the National Football League, and Vita Vea is a big part of that. But I thought Servassie Dennis being in the game, he's very similar to Vine Diablo. I thought he made a difference for him at linebacker. We know Lavonte David's extremely good. I thought Hassan Reddick was good off the edge.
Yaya Diaby played well off their edge too. So I don't think it was just Vita Vea. He certainly was a monster. Logan Hall and Greg Gaines made some plays as well. So their front seven did a good job against the run game and created havoc, certainly in some of that short yardage stuff.
Arch, real quick, finishing up here. I'm really pretty hard on this guy, but I was really proud of Kyle Pitts. He's a guy that's kind of at times, you know, I don't think he had a catch in the first quarter, and sometimes when that happens, he kind of gets lost in the fray. But he did a really good job, I felt, late, continuing to fight to get open and be kind of a target really in that underneath area for Penix when they needed him on those late drives.
Yeah, he did a good job from that perspective, no question about it. When he had the ball in his hands, he made a couple of tough catches. Obviously, we had the big catch that he ultimately made. Looked like I think it was Tyke Smith was on him, and it looked like raked the ball out, but it got overturned. That was incredible how many plays were evaluated and overturned. And by the way, in finishing up, Kyle Pitts, I thought, did a really good job of being a factor in the passing game. He still is a stretch when it comes to blocking, and I think you got to be careful about that situation. But unbelievable job of him being a factor late in the game. My question for you guys can settle this when I get off here, is if you're going to find somebody to get rid of, what's going on with the guy running the clock in the stadium? Can we get that one fixed? I mean, how many times
so bad.
We have to adjust the clock?
So bad.
Well, I could get rid of Lan Clark and the clock operator, I guess, because either one of them, to me, you know what? I blame them both. If you can't get on the same page, you're both out of here.
Yeah, and don't panic, Falcon fans. I know that there's going to be naysayers and all this kind of stuff, and, hey, these guys didn't play this and do this in the preseason, all that kind of stuff. A lot of good football happened on the field. There's a lot of young players that are going to get better, exponentially better, over the season. Certainly need to have that happen on Sunday night. So I'm excited about going down there. I'm excited about what Michael Penix does. And, hey, we get a national championship rematch. J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix coming up on Sunday night.
Hey, I love the positivity. Thanks, Dave.
You bet. You guys have a good day.
Hey, thanks, you Dave. Too. Appreciate the insight. That is former Falcons quarterback, now radio analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer. We will talk to him later this week as the Falcons get ready to head to Minnesota. And coming up, we're going to run down this Falcons-Bucks game one more time. If you haven't gotten your opinion out yet, 404-726-0929. Call Dylan right now, and we've got a life of squid.
I'm going to give a shout-out to an Atlanta Hawk who I thought represented himself very, very well Saturday morning. Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To him on first and 10. Michael looks, shoots it for Ray McCloud, who makes the catch out of bounds at the 50. I cannot believe he threaded that needle.
Yeah, that was a deep out cut on a dime to Ray McCloud, and that was pretty tight coverage. Good job of Ray concentrating, squeezing the football.
Oh, I jumped up off the couch when Ray made that catch.
Let's go.
Well,
same way.
Yes, that was a very good play by Ray. Ray also had a moment, though, where he didn't decide. He lined up wrong and decided not to really run and just jogged, and that cost us a timeout.
We're just focusing on the highlight that Dylan just
also
played.
Can we not ask Ray to block anybody anymore either?
He's going to have to.
I love
he's
the guy.
He's going to have to.
He's
like
such
Kyle
a
Pitts,
good
at some
dude.
Point they're going to have to.
And a fun guy, and he makes plays, man, when you need him.
He can't George picking us.
But
sorry.
But it's not no. George Pickens just doesn't try. Ray tries. He's just not his forte.
He's got the E. Weems. Eric Weems going on for him.
No,
Eric Weems used to just throw his body around, just ricochet off of people.
Eric Weems used to launch himself into blocks,
exactly.
And it worked.
He'd be like, I'm gonna get KO'd, but I'm at least gonna give it everything I have.
By the way, we are the Dang. Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack. You got Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan here. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We do have a life of squid coming up shortly, but we've been taking your calls all morning about that Falcons loss yesterday. A lot to like, though, about yesterday's game, but ultimately came down to a 23-20 loss. Got a few more calls to get to. Dylan, let's go out to Xavier and Gwinnett. Xavier, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, team? Hey. Heads up. This is a very good call.
Nice. Love it.
I love the Falcons. I'm a diehard Falcons fan, but I love NFL football even more, right? So I love it enough to know that our team has been pretty mediocre for years, and I don't really see where this offseason we graduated from that mediocrity. We are relying on a lot of rookies, but they're rookies. So to me, I feel like there's going to be a lot of development this year, but this idea that we're going to be this top five offense and our defense is going to vastly improve, I never really brought that. So I kind of just tempered my expectations.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. Here's what I'll say, and I think Dave Archer just said this best, guys. This is not the same team you're going to have. I know you've been saying that a lot today too, Bo. These guys are going to develop. Mm-hmm. Don't make that exclamation after the first game where four rookies got meaningful snaps on defense. That's not who this team is ultimately going to be. Now, they could get worse, but let's just stop with this ship has sailed after week one.
I mean, I think that the defense allowed that final drive, but they're getting a lot of hate when I thought there was so many good. They did. The defense gave up three touchdowns yesterday. Two of them came up from right at the 50, the other from like your own 40-yard line, and then the third, which was the game going ahead, that was a bad kickoff where they got the ball like the 40-yard line. So the short fields really killed the Falcons.
I forgot about Youngway shaking that opening kickoff until you just said that. Dude. So that was like you.
And he did it late too. So
crazy.
I understand, but the defense did pretty good job yesterday. I mean, I you want to give them, they didn't make the plays at the very end, but to sit here and just crap on the defense to me, and the reason you think you have a top five offense because you have an all-pro caliber running back, a top-tier wide receiver, and you finally look like you got the quarterback situation figured out. So I understand if you want to be negative about one thing, let's be negative about special teams today. That's where I would go. The special teams needs a lot of work right now.
Let's get one more call in. Shelton in Clayton County. Shelton, how are you feeling today?
Hey, I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Good.
So I just wanted to make a couple quick points about a couple things. So the first thing that I noticed is I love Penny for everything I see. But I did realize it seemed like he's a little timid when it comes to, like, moving in the pocket. Like, I feel like if we're going to have a mobile quarterback, you don't got to be Michael Vick. But for the most part, you want to see him at least get out of the pocket, move around, try to extend the play a little bit. I feel like a lot of plays we could have did a lot more. And the play calling seems just a little mediocre to me. It's like we're running plays where I feel like everybody in the building knows we're running the ball up the middle. If we know that y'all finna do it, then I'm pretty sure the professional coach on the other side knows y'all finna do it.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot to unpack there. I will just say I'm not happy with the play calling either, or the play design, if you will. But the flip side of that is there's a lot more things going on that you don't realize. And when they have a five-man defensive front end with Vita Vea at the nose guard, you kind of have to find other ways to go about it. And I think they should, and they will. But I'm not happy with the play calling either as far as Zach Robinson goes. I didn't think it was his best day.
I would tell you that I thought Penix moved. I'm not really sure. I thought Penix moved well. He only had one sack yesterday. He moved around, kept plays alive, but he also can read and he was seeing what was happening and he got the ball out quickly, which is actually the preferred thing you want him to do.
Like, I was shocked that he didn't run around earlier. He waited till the fourth quarter to pick up some first downs with his legs, which was nice. I was shocked it didn't happen earlier.
But and he's trying to distribute. Like his job is to get that ball to a guy's hands and let them make a play. You don't want him taking a ton of shots, so.
Well, I do want to say thanks to everyone for calling in today. Gabe, I'm sorry we didn't get to your call. Keep tweeting us. I promise we are seeing them at 9:29 morning shift. And this Thursday, join Dukes and Bell at Buffalo's Cafe and Coming for a special broadcast. They'll be getting you ready for Thursday night's NFL game. Plus, looking ahead to the weekend's college and pro football action. That is Thursday at Buffalo's Cafe in Coming.
Baron Burton's W Sauce, the New Realm Brewing, the Owl Inn Lager. Man, such good stuff. Had a few this weekend. All right. Look, I think we all know what happened. We've talked about the Falcons game. I really am proud of everyone that called in, though, because I think most people haven't overreacted. Because the biggest thing is if we'd have won yesterday's game, doesn't mean we're going to the Super Bowl. Because we lost yesterday's game, doesn't mean we're going to be shut out of the playoffs and the season is over. And I think most people took it kind of with a grain of salt type thing, which is what you need to do, right, with that first game. We saw last year that the first game hurt us, but it wasn't the be-all, end-all what we were going to do. That said, I was watching College Game Day. I did a lot Saturday morning before the game started. We went on a walk. I did the yard. I had to clean the baby Breeza, you know, because the thing that makes the formula, because it needed to be cleaned. You got cleaned every so often. I did all these things. And as I'm finishing up the baby Breeza, putting it back together, I flipped it back on my phone to game day because I wanted to see Trae Young, because Trae Young was the celebrity game day picker, and he was the first one since they did the Corso Gate thing with his celebration of him. And I was really impressed with Trae. I thought Trae did a really good job. He got a couple of games right. He got some wrong, but that's just bad. I mean, you know.
Nailed that Mississippi State.
That's right. And let's listen to a little bit of Trae on College Game Day dial on.
There's a lot of legends in the building, and you can obviously see most of them are against us. And but this is our second time playing Michigan. The last time we played them, we all know the result, and we ultimately won the championship at the end of the year. And for me, I'm having that same feeling. Like, I'm having that same type of vibe. Boomer! Boomer! Soon as about 50, man. Let's go.
Wow. Good stuff, man.
I thought Trae did well. Obviously, everybody knows the homer, Desmond Howard. Was going to have a slanted bias in his pick. But
I don't blame him. I'd be the same way if I was Desmond. I'd dig on there. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, Mark Ingram don't do that. So, you know, Matt Leinart, Kirk does it sometimes, actually. He gets kind of caught up, and he tries not to. But I've actually really grown to like Mark Ingram on the Big
Moon.
Mark's great,
man. He brings so much energy. He's really, really good at his job, too, so I'm with you.
He was talking about Ohio State, and he was talking about the run game, and I was like, dude, like, all right. Like, yes, you're bringing it. I love it. But, you know, I thought Trae did a really good job. He represented our city well. He represented his school well. I was a big fan of what Trae brought to that. So, good job, Trae.
Attaboy.
That's right.
Yeah, nice work.
Good job, right. Trae. Attaboy. Good job. Good job. Well, we got a roll for Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself. Allie Mack, thanks for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Atlanta.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.